What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. And we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, and we are wrapping up our second season as the Locked On Chargers podcast hosts, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, let me just start by saying what an exciting weekend of football. I mean, so many good games, so many surprises over the weekend, some things that we knew were going to happen happened. So on today's show, we want to talk about the playoffs and talk about our takeaways from these playoff wins and the teams that are winning these games, and also, you know, bring into perspective the Chargers against these teams because they played three of the four remaining teams as well. So we're going to do one takeaway from the game and one thing we would take away if we could from the winners. So we're going to do that in the second and third segments. We'll start with the AFC and then wrap the show up with the NFC. But we're going to start the show today because of the newest rumors that Phillip Rivers could make a lot of sense for the Indianapolis Colts. They have a ton of cap space, and not only could they be interested in Phillip Rivers, there are a couple other pieces that they could try to go for as well on the Chargers, so we'll get into that. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler took a poll from executives, and one of the questions on the poll was, where will Phillip Rivers end up? And the executives did not pick the Chargers when they were polled. Most of the executives actually said that the Indianapolis Colts could be the main team that could try to get Phillip Rivers away from Los Angeles. So, David, the ties make a lot of sense. Frank Reich used to be Phillip Rivers' offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, and Nick Sirianni was a former coach for the Chargers as well. So there's a lot of ties there. But the other thing is the Colts have a ton of salary cap space, so they could offer him a pretty nice contract. And with the Chargers, you might think they would possibly try to go for a lower contract to try to fill out the rest of the roster. But the Colts make a lot of sense for Phillip Rivers if he decides to leave the Chargers. They have a good offensive line. They have a good rushing attack. They have a good defense. And with the shocking retirement of Andrew Luck before the season started, it makes a lot of sense, David, because Jacoby Brissett hasn't worked out.
Jacoby Brissett has just only been average at best, and I'm putting that kind of generously. But the Colts make a lot of sense. As you mentioned, there's some Chargers former coaches over there that know Phillip Rivers very well and have worked, you know, in concert with him for many years. And so there's a definite comfort zone there. If Phillip Rivers and the Chargers don't come to an agreement before the start of free agency, that Phillip Rivers could have some suitors, and the Indianapolis Colts definitely make a lot of sense. And if Phillip Rivers is looking for a good place that, like you said, has a really good young offensive line, a good defense, and an opportunity, you know, with the right player, with the right quarterback, to go to the playoffs and really, you know, vie for a championship, I think the Colts are in a great position to do that. And, you know, they have the cap space to come in and go in and get whatever player or whoever they want. The Colts are in a prime position, and if they want Phillip Rivers, it seems like that is a marriage that could potentially happen.
If it gets in a bidding war, the Chargers would not last very long. I don't think they want to go spend that kind of money on Phillip Rivers if that's in the plans to bring him back. But that's not just the only scary part of this, David, because the Colts could be targeting a few other young Chargers as well. Hey, maybe Phillip Rivers takes them with him. But the two main players that would make sense for the Colts would be Austin Ekeler, who is a restricted free agent, so the Chargers would have a chance to offer any contract sheet they were to give to him, and Hunter Henry, who is an unrestricted free agent. And with Eric Ebron becoming an unrestricted free agent now that the season is over, those are two guys that could make a lot of sense. And the Chargers won't be able to win these bidding wars if the Colts really want these guys.
Well, and the Chargers have a decent amount of cap space too, Daniel. And according to Tom Telesco's core philosophy of drafting your guys and signing your guys and ultimately just rewarding your homegrown talent, which I would include Austin Ekeler in that because he was an undrafted free agent. If he sticks to those values, then I would expect that they would re-sign both of those guys long before they hit free agency. But if they do not, rest assured there will be plenty of suitors for both of those players. They are both dynamic football players that do a lot of things well that could help a lot of teams out there. So the Chargers need to live by their words and re-sign these two guys, because if not, they for sure will be wearing a different uniform and playing against them on Sundays.
Yes, it does seem like it is the Chargers' philosophy to bring these guys back, and they should, in extending Austin Eckler, should be high up on Tom Telesco's GM to-do list for this offseason, but you might not be able to bring back all of these guys, and we've seen plenty of former coaches go after players that they once had and be very successful with those players, and that's something that you worry about with Frank Reich because there is already a connection there, so it's not a totally foreign situation that they'd be going into, which it usually is if you're an undrafted free agent, but the Colts are a team that could be a serious contender to take some of the Chargers players, and we will see how Tom Telesco responds to that and tries to bring back some of these really good players that he's drafted or picked up. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to be talking about the playoffs. Such a good weekend of playoff football, so we're going to be getting into those games right after this. But first, we have a new sponsor that I got to tell you guys about, and that is Echelon. To get in fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym and pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com, discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at-home cycling experience at less than half of the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms, dads, first responders, and elite athletes. Whatever your activity level, Echelon is for you. Right now, if you guys go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn more about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer, make sure you go to Echelon, echelonfit.com/LONFL, all caps, echelonfit.com/LONFL. Oh, and getting that new sponsor just gets me so excited. And another sponsor that always gets me excited is BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. If you guys want to kickstart your game in the bedroom, Blue Chew is for you. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since they ship directly to you, they're cheaper than a pharmacy, and right now they're even cheaper than that because we can give you guys your first shipment of Blue Chew for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is spend $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BLUECHEW.com, promo code locked on to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys. Well, it's time to talk about the playoffs because we had a great weekend of playoff NFL football. If you guys got to catch it, it was a really awesome weekend. I'm super excited for the next weekend. But we have the final four teams in the playoffs. It's going to be the Titans, the 49ers, the Chiefs, and the Packers. So the Chiefs will be taking on the Chiefs will be taking on the Titans next week, and the Titans beat them in the regular season, and the 49ers will be taking on the Packers, and the 49ers absolutely destroyed the Packers when they met in the regular season. But John, the cool thing about these playoff games is the Chargers have actually played against three of these four teams, so you can actually, you know, really look at these games and think about what the Chargers did against them. And the Chargers went 1-3 against the three teams collectively, but that doesn't tell the whole story.
It doesn't tell the whole story because just looking at those games, they were games the Chargers should have won. Maybe the last game against the Chiefs is one that you could really just say the Chargers actually lost that game, but the rest of them, the game against the Titans where we fumbled at the 1-inch yard line, the game against the Chiefs in Mexico where we had a chance to actually tie the game and go to overtime, but we also beat ourselves with interceptions. Just games like that just make you go, oh, you know, we could have won those games. We should be up in the playoffs with these teams, but we beat ourselves. And I think just the fact that we beat ourselves against teams that are in the AFC and NFC championship game shows that this team is a lot better than what the record says.
Absolutely. And we'll start with the AFC, and we'll start with the Titans game against the Ravens. That's a game that not a lot of people predicted correctly. A lot of people had the Ravens beating the Titans, but just like the Titans were underdog in the wild card weekend, they overcame it and won the game almost easily. But David, there were some kind of signs that we had from the game against the Chargers last year in the playoffs for the Ravens, where the Chargers really challenged the Ravens to beat them with Lamar Jackson throwing the football. It didn't work. Lamar Jackson turns the ball over 3 times in the game, and we're getting into key takeaways and what we would take away from this game. And for me, my takeaway is that just like we saw with the Chargers a lot of times this season, turnovers will absolutely kill you in these games. And we also saw what a strong running game can do for you. And that's what I would take away, is the Titans' ability to really run the football so dominantly.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that kind of, you know, goes with my takeaway as well a little bit, you know, inadvertently. Mine is just physicality. I just love the physicality that the Titans played with on both sides of the football. On offense, they lined up, they ran smash mouth, run it down your throat football. Derrick Henry racks up 195 rushing yards, and he just looked unstoppable. And on defense, they just line up, go man on man, and say, hey, beat me. Try and beat me. And they dominated with that ability. And that's one of the things I would love just to take away and add to the Chargers, is just that physical nature, that physicality on both sides of the football. That's what's been lacking for me. And I'd love to see the Chargers get that and use it and keep it.
Yeah, I love that. And John, one of the crazy things about this game is, if Melvin Gordon doesn't fumble on the 1 yard line, you sent this to us, and it totally makes you think, the Titans aren't even in this position to knock off the Patriots and now knock off the Ravens.
Yeah, it's an interesting story that the Titans barely made it into the playoffs as it is. And if they would have lost just one of their games, they don't make it to the playoffs and the Steelers take that spot. And that one game that they could have lost was the Chargers game, where Melvin Gordon fumbled right at the 1-inch yard line, which would have gave us a 27-23 win over the Titans. And instead, they walk away with the win. And now they're in the playoffs, creating history. And I think it's a tale of two teams. You got one team that's more of the conservative type that beats themselves, and another team that's aggressive and walks in and takes what they want. And the team that takes what they want is the one that's successful. I think the Chargers should probably look at that for next year.
Is that what you would want to take away from that, is just the aggressive mindset of just going in and taking something instead of just resting on your laurels?
Yeah, it is something that I would definitely take. The Titans are in this as the 6th seed, but yet they walk in there as if they're the 1 seed. They act like they belong there. They act like they're the best team. They know they can win, and they want that win, and they're willing to go in there and take it by putting their shoulder pads down and hitting you as hard as they can, getting whatever yard they can get, and not beating themselves. And I think it also shows just how much just having a running quarterback is not going to help you win games. The Titans do not have the greatest quarterback on their team right now, but their offensive line is helping out. It's creating a really good running game. They don't have a good passing offensive line, but their offensive line running the ball is good, and that alone is helping the team win games, and their defensive line is helping them win games. So a scrambling quarterback is not going to be the only thing that wins you games when it comes to the draft this year.
Exactly. I think that's said nicely. And one thing you saw was the Titans don't put that much on Ryan Tannehill's plate. You know, they have the game plan where they don't need him to throw the ball 30 times. I don't think he's eclipsed 100 yards in either of the playoff games so far. They don't ask too much. They have him, you know, somewhat game managed, but they always go in and, you know, take what's theirs, and they're not afraid. They're always very aggressive. And one coach was not aggressive enough on Sunday, David, and that was Bill O'Brien. And this game was absolutely nuts on Sunday. The Chiefs beat the Texans 51-31. The Texans were up 24-0. The Chiefs could not stop getting in their own way. And what do? I mean, they get outscored 51-7 the rest of the game. The Chiefs absolutely put it on the Texans in this game. And one of my takeaways from this game is just that no lead is safe against the Chiefs. I mean, you have to stay aggressive. You always have to keep your foot on the gas pedal. I mean, it's almost better to try to come from behind against them and hope they slip up that way, it seems like, because of that. But if there is one thing I could take away from this game, it would just be Andy Reid's creative play calling, the way he gets the best out of all of his talent. He builds the team around his offensive philosophy. David, what were your takeaways from the game?
Yeah, so my takeaways for this game is just game management. I mean, Bill O'Brien, what were you thinking? I mean, you tried to go for it on your side of the football field? Like, what? I mean, that's just absolutely insane. And also, you cannot make mistakes. For me, honestly, the biggest takeaway, Daniel, is when you have your foot on a team's throat and you can put them away, you have to put that team away, especially a team like the Chiefs, who can obviously score at will. I mean, you had them down. You had an opportunity to really put the game away, and you didn't. And, you know, your game, poor game management and your just bad decisions allow the Chiefs to come back in and reverse a blowout from that you were about to celebrate into one that they celebrated all the way to the AFC Championship game.
And what would be your takeaway as far as something you'd bring to the Chargers?
So, I mean, I love just how Andy Reid uses his players and really just accentuates them and utilizes their speed, gets them out in the open, and really helps them shine. I just love that type of play calling, and I think the Chargers would benefit from bringing that, you know, to them in their offense.
John, what were your takeaways from that crazy game, Chiefs versus the Texans?
Just how ridiculously stupid the Texans are. You didn't even deserve to have that 24-0 lead, really. The Chiefs basically gave you that from their own mistakes. You had one good drive, and then you get a punt blocked for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Chiefs muff a punt. They pull a Desmond King and just muff a punt, and you get a quick little drive touchdown, make up 21-0. You didn't really deserve to really get that lead. It was given to you, and then you give it back by making dumb mistakes, like going for it on your own side of the field. You're going for it on fourth down early in the game, up 24-7, and you give the Chiefs a quick touchdown instead of doing what your defense likes to do, which is play hard defense. And instead you say, oh, here's a shorter field for you, Chiefs. Why not help you get back into this game? I'm still blown by the stuff that Bill O'Brien did. This isn't college, where when you were at Penn State, you could pull off this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it didn't really make a lot of sense, the things that he was doing. I mean, there's being aggressive and then there's just being flat out stupid at times. And I think that's what it was. Their defense up to that point wasn't playing terribly. And then you give the ball back on the kickoff return. And I think that's one thing I took away too, was just how these games always just get decided by a few key moments. You turn the ball over on downs inside your own territory. You get a kickoff return and you fumble and they take it back and score. And the Chiefs capitalized on all the mistakes that the Texans made. The Texans really, I mean, Texans fans, you have to feel sorry for them because of the performance that they put up against the Chiefs, especially because getting so excited. But to have a 24-point lead erased in a half, I mean, the Chiefs are one of very few teams that could put something together like that. When they're clicking offensively, and Travis Kelce is catching everything in his vicinity, 3 touchdowns today. I mean, it's almost impossible to stop. And the Chargers have done a pretty good job just not getting absolutely blown out by that team when they've played them and keeping those games close and beating them in the 2018 season. But what a game. What a comeback by the Chiefs. They looked pretty unstoppable on Sunday, but it should be a pretty good matchup against a Titans team that has already beat them this season. That's a game I'm really excited to watch, because if there is a recipe against the Chiefs, run the football, play tough man-to-man defense, force a turnover if you have to. The Titans have been able to do that as well. They forced 3 on Lamar Jackson. That's what the recipe is to try to beat the Chiefs, and the Titans are a pretty unique matchup that wouldn't even be there if it weren't for the Chargers. But we do have one more segment to get into, getting into the last two playoff games. In the NFC, the Packers over the Seahawks and the 49ers over the Vikings coming up after this. But first, I have to tell you guys about our favorite car dealership. That's Metro Infinity, right off the 210 in Monrovia. You have to swing by their brand new multi-million-dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years, and they are the number one volume dealer in California. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership, it's no problem. They will bring your new car and the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction there. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, these guys get it. They also want to save you some money if you're looking for a new car too, and they will give you $500 off any car purchase if you tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. If you guys are in the market for any new car, Metro Infinity is the best place to go. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the other side of the playoff bracket. Getting into another team that the Chargers played this year, the Vikings falling to the 49ers. In another game that was really changed by a few game-altering plays, the Vikings could not get a running game going, and that was a huge part of it. That was the biggest takeaway for me, is what the 49ers were able to do running the football and what they took away from the Vikings. Dalvin Cook goes 9 for 18 in the running game. He gets 6 catches, but for only 8 yards. They took their best offensive weapon away from them, and that's one thing that I really like to see. And Kyle Shanahan, at one point after Jimmy Garoppolo throws the interception, had run it 12 straight plays. David, that is just ridiculous. Being able to just fully manhandle a team like that and keep coming up with creative run concepts that always seem to find openings for the stable of running backs that the 49ers have is always so fun to watch. But they dominated in the trenches, and that's where this game was won.
No question about it. I mean, that incredible ability to find creative ways to run the football and ultimately be extremely successful at it, which honestly has been your offense. I mean, they've just done an incredible job. But for me, my takeaway is really more on the defensive side. Their defensive lineman alone had 5 sacks, which is absolutely incredible. So if I could take anything away, you know, and add to the Chargers, I would absolutely take productivity up and down the defensive line like the 49ers displayed in this game that ultimately helped send them to the NFC Championship game for the first time since Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, well, it doesn't seem like that long to Chargers fans, but yeah, I definitely get what you're saying. And just having a talented defensive line and actually seeing those results show up in the game is something that's nice. Joey Bosa's brother, Nick Bosa, gets 2 sacks in the game. He was phenomenal. He did a really good job on Dalvin Cook. But John, what did you take away from the 49ers pretty much manhandling the Vikings?
Basically, what I took from it is how well John Lynch has put together this team through free agency and the draft. If you look at that team, it was built within a couple of years, and look how dominant it was against the Vikings and how smart the coaching staff was. It was taking away the Vikings' strength and making them use their weakness, which is Kirk Cousins in a big game. They used that against the Vikings, which is smart stuff, and John Lynch found those smart coaches, and he also found these players from other teams and brought them in while also drafting guys in the trenches. It's amazing what he has done, yet Telesco can't pull this off. Even with his coupon god magical powers, he still does not bring in a bunch of guys. And there's not that many injuries on the 49ers either, but yet we're full of them. I think Telesco needs to take a look at what John Lynch has done to the 49ers and take some notes off of that.
And I like that as a takeaway, you know, being able to put a team on the field. I mean, a team that without Jimmy Garoppolo last season was terrible, but they stayed in a lot of games and you knew they had the pieces up and coming. And trading a second round pick to get your future starting quarterback, that's a trade any team will make any day of the week. And the Chargers don't show that kind of aggressiveness to go and get a quarterback like that or any high impact player. But you're right, John, especially going into this offseason, that would be a huge takeaway the Chargers could take, is, you know, being able to fill out a roster like that, because the offensive line they put together too there is pretty damn good. And Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, will get a head coaching job at some point. I can almost guarantee it from what they've been able to do. But now it's time to get into the other side of the NFC playoff picture and talk about the Packers beating the Seahawks. The Seahawks were super injured, so it's hard. You really feel for them. Chris Carson and Rashad Penny both hurt at this point in the season. They're using Marshawn Lynch at this point, just coming out of retirement for the playoffs, basically, which is not a great option. The receiving options there, DK Metcalf is up and coming, but he wasn't able to do much. But the Packers going out and getting the job done. This is a Packers team where you didn't know who would show up, because as we saw against the Chargers, John, they don't always live up to the expectations. And we'll see if they, you know, lay another egg against the 49ers. I thought this game was pretty easy for the Packers to win, especially considering everything that the Seahawks were missing on their side of the ball. But that pass rush was for real. That defense came to play in this game. And the Packers team that this Chargers team absolutely throttled is moving on to the NFC Championship game.
I mean, that's just one takeaway alone. A team that the Chargers destroyed is in the NFC Championship game, and the Chargers are looking at the 6th pick in the draft right now on their own couch. I mean, that right there alone says a lot. But in this game, I think it's goes more to what the Seahawks did. Despite injuries, they were still able to fight back, and it shows how much of a leader Russell Wilson is, still trying to make plays and trying to lead his team, even though the game was basically over with when the Packers converted the first down at the end. It was under review. There's no guarantee this is getting overturned. Russell Wilson is still on the bench, hyping up those guys, telling them, hey, this might be getting overturned. It's time to go. Let's get in the right mindset. Even though it didn't get overturned, he still had them ready. And that's something we don't really see on the sideline from Philip Rivers, who is usually just on the sideline watching the plays as it goes on.
Fuming.
He's not, he's not chatting with the guys saying, hey, this is what we got to do. This is what we got to fix. Let's get hyped up. Let's go. He's not sharing that leader ability lots of times unless he's actually on the field. When Rivers is on the field, he shares that mentality with all the players. But on the bench, it's like he's just there waiting for his turn. He's not prepping for the next drive. I think that's something we got to take away from this game.
I love that takeaway. I mean, Russell Wilson's one of my favorite quarterbacks. And as a Chargers podcast, you understand, you know, what having an offensive line does to an offense and the way that Russell Wilson is able to just escape so many times, even with how many times he's gone down to lead this team of, you know, jumbled parts with that offensive line and basically no rushing attack and keeping it that close with the team who's hosting you in Green Bay and you haven't beat them since 1999 there. I thought it was a very valiant effort, and Aaron Rodgers made a couple of really big plays when he had to, and you have to kind of respect that clutchness. That's what I would take away, is you getting to that point, putting the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands and letting him go get you two first downs that win you the game. That's something I would want to see every day of the week. Get your best player the ball in his hands and let him go win the game instead of trying to run the clock and hope that you hold on. David, what were your takeaways from the Seahawks versus the Packers?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just love the way that Aaron Rodgers was able to go out, win the game, like you mentioned. I mean, the clutch factor was going to be one of my big takeaways, honestly. But just the accuracy and, you know, not turning the football over. I mean, that's one of the big things that, you know, the Packers did really well. They gave Aaron Rodgers time, and Aaron Rodgers made some great throws. And his accuracy was something that I want to see the Chargers, you know, instill into their offense, whether that, if that's Phillip Rivers or someone else. But I like just, you know, and also, like you mentioned, just make the big play when it's there to be made and go win a football game. Have that mentality that you're going to go out there and close a football game out. And I think those are the things that I would take away from this game, you know, that I really loved to see him.
And the Packers general manager saw the window that this team had, and went and added a lot for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he didn't get him enough receivers, obviously, but he went and built a defense there and got Zadarius and Preston Smith in the offseason, built that secondary with first-round picks and very talented players, and they have the coaching staff in the right spot, getting these guys a good point game plan to come into this game. They didn't have a good game plan against the Chargers, but in this game, they really did, and that's what ended up getting them the win. Aaron Rodgers just needed a few plays here and there, and that's really all you need. I mean, they don't need him to be throwing it 40 times a game. They had a 24-24 run pass in this game at one point, pretty deep in the game, and that kind of balance is something that the Chargers can strive for too, because they ran the football a lot in this game, and that's only one of the only reasons they were able to pull it off. But what a weekend of NFL playoff football. That was pretty exciting. I'm stoked for the national championship game later on tonight. Tweet us and tell us who you guys got in the game. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. But what a weekend, and it's still going with the national championship game. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. We'll be back with you guys later on in the week. We're going to have draft expert Jordan Reed coming on the show at some point with us at some time this week. He works for the Draft Network and has a lot of good draft analysis that he's going to give us. And we're going to ask him some players that the Chargers should target to fill some of the many needs that they have. So get excited for that later on this week. I'm really excited about it. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.